Isn't she lovely? It's exciting. I actually got asked to share a little bit about what I have previously shared at an evening service, which was back in December last year. And I listened to that recording and I thought, I actually can't share a lot of what I spoke about that night because I've already spoken about some of those testimonies and stories with you. And God's already moved me along on a journey. But I think it's important for me to share with you a story, the story that I shared to start off with, because it's the times when God really touches your heart and speaks to your heart where you need to listen to what it is that God's saying to you. And time again, this has been the situation for me. It's not something God wants me to run from. It's something God wants me to run to and to dig into him more. And it all started when I went to the doctor. And, well, it started way before then because there's way many more stories before then. But this particular story happened when I went to the doctor. And I got a scan of my neck. Now, it was an unexpected scan that I was getting. And I am going to be vulnerable with you here as well to tell you my story. I think that's important. You know, sometimes we need the vulnerability to understand people's journeys. But I wasn't expecting to get this particular scan, but I did. And when I returned to the doctor to find out what the situation was with the vertebrae that was being looked at in my neck, he said to me, "You've got some lumps," or I don't know what it's called now, "nodules on my thyroid." And I was thinking at the time, well, that's really cool that we've found out something that I wasn't looking at, you know? But at the same, and at the time I wasn't at all concerned. He just said to me, "You can go for, a little scan thing of my neck and then we'll take it from there." And I went and did that and I hadn't heard back from the doctor, so I didn't think about it. And I was coming into church one day and I was talking to Eve about this and I said, I haven't heard back, but, you know, I did get this. She was probably about the only person that I had told. I hadn't told my mum. I don't know, I just sort of hadn't really thought too much about it. And anyway, she said to me, well, you should find out what the details are because it's important. But I again just thought, oh, it's fine. Anyway, I'm sitting at work and I'm busy and I've had all these different conversations with people. I chat to people in the online space and I hear all sorts of things from people. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and my phone rang. And as soon as I saw the number, I knew. I was like, there's something that I need to investigate a little bit more. I answered the call and they said, "Can you please come in? We need to see you at the doctor's." And I hung up the phone. I thought, I haven't got time to even think about that. And I carried on with my conversations. And then I got in my car that night and I was driving to see Ad and Lil, who are at this church. They're a lovely family at this church. I don't think they're here today. But I was going to see them for dinner. It was my second time ever going to see them for a meal. And as I'm driving along the road, I started to just think about this whole thing with this nodule. And I thought, what if this was terminal? Now, not that I jumped to the conclusion that it was, but I was going, what if? What if this was actually like I got given a few months to live? Because that's the reality sometimes. I think, you know, we don't stop to actually think and take a stock of our lives. And this was one of those situations where I started to take a stock of my life. And I started asking God some questions. It was a very short journey, car ride that I had because I needed to get to the fuel station on the way. But just in that 5 to 7 minutes of driving, I was asking God all sorts of questions. And I said, is there anything I'd regret? Is there anything, God, that I haven't done? Is there anything that I'd want to change in my life? And one of the first things that came to my mind is that I wasn't married. And I never have been. And I would love to be married, but it hasn't happened yet. Now, I just found myself instantly bursting into tears. and just saying to God, you know what, God? None of that matters. None of it matters because I just want to see people saved. I just want to see people saved. I'm sick of messing around. I'm sick of it. I need to see more people come to know you. Because I've found out about you and I need other people to know about you as well. And yes, while there's other things that are important in life, to me this trumps it all. And every single time when the pressure comes on with me, that's my default. Every time. You know what, God? It doesn't actually matter that I'm going through this trial right now because I want to see people saved. It's not that he doesn't care about my trial, but he wants me to focus on the things that are close to his heart. And I know that he'll give me the strength. I never used to think that I could dialogue with God. There was times in my life where I just thought I had to take what came to me and not ask God questions, but I've learnt it's so important to be asking God questions and to dig deeper. Why do I feel this way? What's happening in my heart? What does God want for me? You know, I came to the conclusion, and this quickly flooded into my mind as I'm crying and I'm just thinking through all the promises that God had for me or has for me. And I haven't fulfilled those things. He's shown me, he's told me many times through people at this church, through other people that have spoken to me, that I'm going to see hundreds, hopefully hundreds of thousands of people saved in my lifetime that I've been responsible for. And it hasn't happened. So I was like, you know what? That's all I need to worry about. I brushed my tears away. I drove into that fuel station. I thought that's the last thing he wants to see is a crying lady coming to get a fuel. Anyway, and then I carried on and I went for dinner. And when I went to dinner, I thought, I'll just put that out of my mind. But at the end of the night, when it was just me and Lil together, you know, I felt like God said to me, come on, darling. Just open up, share with her what's going on. And I did, and it was precious. And I had a little bit of fear that was holding on, and there was no way I wanted that fear to take me into the next day and the next day. Because no matter what happens, I know that my God is with me, and I know that he's going to look after me. And if it was my time to be taken home, it would be my time to be taken home. But I'm not going to go unless he says. And so anyway, she knelt beside me and she prayed for me and she asked God for peace. And that's when peace came. And there's a scripture, and I'll just ask Jim to put that scripture up. And it's in Proverbs 29:18. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. And I've given another version as well from the Passion. When there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. And there's another one that says, without vision, the people perish. And I can hold on to some promises because God's given me promises. He's shown me things that I'm going to do. I've written those words down. I actually have a book that I use. This is one of my books that I've got. Every single day I write down what God speaks to me. And it's so precious to go back. In fact, I was in tears last night looking. I spoke on the 9th of December. I looked on the 11th of December, and yet there was another word that he had given me to move me on, to move me towards the goal that he's promised for me. So hold on. Get your full instructions from God and obey. Hold on. Get your full instructions from God and obey. Something that God's been speaking to me is how he wants me to help people more and more to know how to share their faith. Because, you know, we have this treasure inside of us, and it's so important that it comes out. It's so important. And it's important that it comes out in a way where people can understand. It's important it comes out in a way where you can make a difference. And I want to say to each and every one of you this morning, you can make a difference. You don't need to be a morag. I say that many times. Don't try to be me. Try to be you. Try to be everything that God has created you to be, and you will reach people that I will never be able to reach. But they need to know your story, but they also need your listening ear. So I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey of some points of how to share your faith. But I want to bring up just a promise that we have in Psalm 91, 1 to 4. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. And that scripture goes on to say all these beautiful, beautiful promises. Now, the good news is the test came back and everything was okay. It's exciting. Yeah? But I also got to use that testimony, or I got to speak to the person that was actually taking the biopsy from me. And they came in and started to explain to me what would be happening, and started to talk about where the needle would go in, and they'd take this biopsy. Anyway, he came back and said to me, oh, we didn't get enough. Let's just cross our fingers that we'll get some more. And I said, oh, hold on a minute. Let's not just cross our fingers. What is it exactly that you need? And he told me, and I said, well, I'm going to ask God for exactly that. So God, can you please blah, blah, blah. And that was it. He put the needle in, left the room. And I said to the person who was in the room with me, you know, so often we don't get what we want because we don't ask for it. And God wants us to talk to him. The doctor came back in and he said, I've got it. It worked. I said, great. And I repeated again. So often we don't get what we want because we don't ask for it. So I'd like to take you on another little journey, and this is the parable of the toilet roll. It's important for you to understand this journey, the parable of the toilet roll, because this is where I learnt some of my lessons. Because I used to work at an organisation called Youth with a Mission in Perth. I was there for 10 years. And when I went to the toilet, I would find this often. And I remember complaining and I said, God, why is it? In fact, I didn't even say God. I said, these stupid people, how come they can't change the toilet roll? Like, why is it that what they're doing is affecting me? And then suddenly it clicked. I was like, you know what? Every single little action that we do, it affects others, either for good or for bad. Now, what I decided to do, instead of grumbling and complaining, because I felt like God spoke to me and wanted to teach me a lesson, or wanted to teach me, it wasn't a lesson, that's probably the wrong way of saying it. He wanted to be able to impart something in me that I wouldn't forget, and I haven't forgotten. Although I must admit, this came to mind one day. In fact, it was probably in December, around the time I was speaking. I finished the roll of toilet paper in my toilet, and I thought, I'll change it later, which I never do. I'm the only person in my house. So when I got to the toilet and sat down, I only had one person to blame. And I thought, why didn't I do something about that before? We put things off, don't we, sometimes? But you know, what I'd have to do is I'd have to walk down to the supply cupboard, which was a number of Well, it was a number of steps away. Yeah, it was like out in the field, yeah? And then I'd come back with all the paper and I'd put it in, I'd make sure I'd bring more than what I needed. That was another thing. Bring more. Don't just bring enough. We have more. So I went and bought more. I put it into the little bin. I'd put it on the roll. And, you know, instead of complaining, every single time I went into that toilet, which was almost every time I went into the toilet, there was no paper there, I would say, thank you, God, for the opportunity to serve. Thank you, God, that you're teaching and training me. Thank you, God, that you're showing me and reminding me that every action I do makes a difference. Thank you, God. And when I had got that, when I'd finally got that, you know, I don't think I ever needed to change that toilet roll in that toilet again. It's amazing. Once I'd learnt what God wanted to teach me or understood what God wanted to teach me, I didn't have to change the roll. Miraculously, there seemed to be toilet paper. It may have been because I went around the base and were telling everybody what God was teaching me. Maybe. That could have been part of it. But that's good, isn't it? Because we should tell stories, right? But I do remember one day where there was just one little piece left on the roll just as I was finishing. And I thought, no one will ever know. But then I didn't leave it that way. I went away, I got some paper, and I put it on. Yeah, thanks. Anyway, I am going to actually share this psalm. I took it down before, but I am going to share it. It's Psalm 10, verse 2 to 4. Psalm 10, verse 2 to 4, for anyone that wants to look that up. But it says, in arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Now, I sent that to my mother last night, and I said to her, what sticks out to you with the scripture? And her words were, that I need not concern myself with those who seek to tear me down because of what I believe. I thought, what a wise mum. I need not concern myself with those who seek to tear me down because of what I believe. And I'd like to just put up Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Do you think we could say this all together? Because that's what God has said for you. Can we say it together? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, I did some teaching, or went to a teaching that was in Germany, and this was back in 2018. And I had the privilege of being able to listen to Reinhard Bonnke sharing on a FaceTime call with all of us. And there was something that he said at that time that really struck me. He was on a flight and he was off to California, and he actually was delayed on that flight, and he rung ahead or said ahead to the guy, I'm real sorry, but I think I'm going to be late and I'm not going to be able to come in time for the meeting. And the guy had said to him, look, don't worry, it's okay. Whenever you arrive, you just come in. Like, we want to see you regardless. And when he came in the door, he had these people that turned around and they went, oh, Reinhard Bonnke, we are so pleased that you're here. We've been discussing a theological question and we need a man like you to answer it. And he said, well, what is the problem? And so they told him. And he said, I stood there and thought, that is so complicated. And I don't really have any idea what you're talking about or what you're asking. And he said, then the Holy Spirit came and said something to me. We'll put those words up on screen as well. This is what he said. I am an evangelist. I am busy breaking chains. When the last chain is broken, I will start with the splitting of hair. So could we agree as a church, when the last chain is broken, could we then start going into all the nitty-gritty? But before the chains are broken, could we actually work on touching people's hearts? Could we look at how to reach people instead of all the things that people may be doing wrong? Because what I'd like to do is take you on this journey with showing you some real life conversations. And the exciting thing is, I'm preparing this information so that I can go to New Zealand and help to teach and train a group of volunteers in this space, where we're going to be talking to people in the online space and leading them to Christ. And so I get to show you some of the slides that I've made for my talking before I get there. How exciting. So if we'll go up, what I want to show you is what people are looking for, what they're really looking for. So the first one is they need someone to open up to. I've not been talking about my friend. I have in fact been talking about myself as I feel my life choices are pulling me away from God. Hopefully they come up. Oh, good. And pulling me back from reaching my full potential. And this guy's name was Hans, and he was discussing his gay friend. But it was actually Hans that he was talking about. So this is what he actually said himself. I've not been talking about my friend. I've been talking about me. I can't tell you how many young, confused people there are, because they're hearing a voice. And the voice that they hear is often more loving and kind than the voice that we can sometimes be. Because it's not actually the truth that people need at the start of when I'm saying the truth. It's not that they need to be told what they're doing wrong. They need actually time to discuss so they can unpack how to deal with the feelings and the emotions that are going on inside of them. And I've had one guy that we've had online for a year and a half, and he said, I'm gay. And I asked him, what is it that's actually happened? Like, when did you start feeling that way? How old were you? What's happened in your life? One of the things he spoke about is how he only knows guys. He goes to a guy's school. He's never had a girl interested in him, and he's come to the conclusion that he's gay. And this is the reality for people. And it's just really important. I just wanted to spend some time on this, because if people can't talk to us, who do they talk to? And this guy, he ended up giving his life after a year. He gave his life to Christ. Now, he had to jump between two different responders. First of all, the person he was speaking to, he got really upset with her and said, can I speak to someone else? So then he spoke to me. And then he got really upset with me and he said, can I speak to the girl I was speaking to before? And this is the thing, is people need different information at different times. And this guy gave his life to Christ, and then he got a girlfriend. And then he broke up with his girlfriend, and we were thinking, oh no. But you know what he said? I know that girls like me, and I know that I'm actually straight. Thank you so much for what you've done. Now, that's not always the situation for people. Sometimes people will struggle for this for a lifetime. But are we willing to go on a journey with them and to help them along? So the next one is that they need belonging. I believe in him. I talk to him. I pray, but I don't go to church. I don't know the differences in religion to where I belong. People don't have any idea, and they need the truth that you have inside of you. They need you to help them to bring that out. So next one is they need help and connection. This was a suicidal Muslim girl. She was an immigrant from Afghanistan. She said to me, "Can we catch up in person? It should be somewhere where I can cry badly." Now, this girl didn't want to talk to a helpline. She wanted to talk to us. And she just kept coming back to us. She wouldn't even come out of her room. But she kept coming back to us and saying, "You're the people that will listen to me. You're the people that will help me." And I was able to help her get connected to a church. They need someone to relate to. I really liked hearing that God loves me and wants me. It's more or less what I need to hear, probably on a daily basis. There are times where I feel like I'm not good enough for anyone, including God. And you know, I often think about the stories that we hear and how often what can happen is that what people do is they take a judgment call because they've seen something that someone's written or something that someone said, and then they don't feel like they can talk to that person again. They don't feel like they can be accepted again, and they start becoming more and more insular, where they go, "There's no one in this earth that understands me, and God wouldn't understand me either. Would God actually accept me?" I think that might have been the last one that I had. Oh no, it's actually, no, there's more. There is more. A church family. Now this guy here, the "yes she has" was him talking to his girlfriend about also receiving Christ, which is what he had done. And he said, "I've thrown away my bong. I no longer smoke weed. I no longer drink or commit fornication. I'm trying my hardest to be sin-free." And this guy was living with his girlfriend, reading the Bible to her in bed, and they've got a child. And he'd like to get married, but he thought he had to get enough money to be able to get married first. And he was waiting for someone from a church to make contact with him. He actually said to me, when he hadn't heard from anyone, "Have they died?" And I know we laugh, but sometimes we take too long to get back to people. And people need us immediately. When someone has given their life to Christ, they actually need a family. Not just one person, but they need our whole family. Which is where something like the games night was amazing. Because that's from young to old, where people can feel connected. And then the next one is that they need an invitation. This guy was from 2 weeks ago. "I've always wanted to see what church is like, but I've never known how to get into one. I'm sorry for all the questions, but what would occur there? What does going to a church actually consist of?" This guy's 19 years old and lives in Invercargill. And you can see it for yourself. And he gave his life to Christ, which is very exciting. So I think now it's really about, how do I start a conversation? So how would you personally go on to start a conversation? And I'd like to share a few stories with you of how I can do that face to face. I can also share with you, if you're wanting to do something in the online space, it's just important that you do this on a, not in a, "I'll post up my opinion," but it's like, "I'll have a look at the opinions of people, and oh my goodness, that person looks like they've got a little bit of a different view from me. I wonder if I could connect with them in a personal message and actually ask them a few details about why they feel that way. And then I could actually have a chat back and forth. And it might be that I'll be able to get to a point where I can talk about my relationship with God. But I could ask them some questions and get some understanding." So it's a great way to be able to, with social media, to be able to talk to people rather than just being out there. Because as soon as I put something out there, my opinion is there for everybody to see. So that means the opinion of someone that's following God wholeheartedly, or someone like that girl before that's just saying, oh man, I don't think anyone will accept me and neither will God. Are we going to reach those people? I know you can do it. I know you can do it. So, how do you start a conversation? When I was in the airport the other day, I was coming out of the toilet. The toilet seems to be one of those familiar places, doesn't it? I mean, we all go there, don't we? So, anyway, I'm walking out and I see these guys ahead of me and they're standing at the bar at the airport. They've got their little fluoro vests on. And I got these words come straight to my mind, everything is going to be okay. And I was like, oh, I knew straight away, I was like, it's for that guy right there. And I found myself just walking around the corner and I just sort of stood beside the shop that was just here in the airport. And I started crying because I could just feel the love of God that he had for this man. And I was like, oh man, I've got to go and tell him, but I just need to pull myself together first, because like that's the worst thing, eh? Like going up, I just want to tell you that. You know, it's not going to go down very well. So I had a look at some little kids' clothes with bunny outfits and stuff and pulled myself together. I was like, oh, that's not Easter. Anyway, it was at Easter time. And anyway, I just went straight up to these guys at the bar, Lena, and I was like, hey guys, really sorry to interrupt, but I just needed to come over. I was walking out of the toilet and I got these words and they're for you. And I pointed to this guy. Now, I know that's really full on to do, but I didn't actually know how else to do it. And I thought, you know what? I don't need to sort of think through this too much. I just need to do it. Well, there was one guy standing across the table going, and he was waiting to see what happened. And someone else was like, and then I went to this guy, put my hand on his shoulder and I said, everything's going to be okay. God says everything is going to be okay. I obviously said to the guys, I've heard from God. I've got a word for this guy, right? And then he just stands here and I'm thinking, he's not really giving me anything back. And I'm standing there and then this guy's still like, and another guy's like this. And then so I actually turned to that guy that sort of seemed to be, you know, and I was like, do you know God yourself? And he's like, oh, I used to, but you know. And this other guy's still like. But anyway, I just said, I just want to let you know that God just loves all of you guys so much. He just loves you. He loves you so much. And then I sort of stumbled and I went back to Billy and I was like, just remember, everything is going to be okay. God sees your pain. Did you know that? And he's like, yeah, thank you. And then I was just like, oh, have a good day, guys, and I walked away. Now, there was an Uber driver on the way to the airport that I ended up talking to. And the reason why I ended up talking to this particular one is I was getting ready in my hotel, and I heard God say, order your Uber now. So I know to order my Uber now. So I ordered my Uber, I pushed now, and I'm like, oh no, I've got 2 minutes. So I'm grabbing my bag and I'm running down and I'm at reception and he's ringing me and telling me I'm outside. I'm like, okay, I'm getting there. I jumped into the taxi and he starts talking. He talks for about 10 minutes. Now this guy was an imam in a mosque here in Australia for 4 years. That's why he came here. And I'm just listening to him and he's telling me all of his stories. And I just stopped him after about 10 minutes and I said to him, do you ever ask God for advice? Like, do you ever ask God for direction? He's like, oh, no, I haven't got that kind of relationship. I haven't got that connection. Actually, he didn't use the word relationship. He said, I don't have that kind of connection with God. And I just went, oh, I couldn't handle not being able to hear from God. Oh, I love hearing his voice. And he turned and looked at me, and I was like, oh, I talk to him every day. Like, I can't leave home without reading my Bible. I can't leave home without hearing from him. And I pulled out my little book because it was in my bag and I said, you know, I write down what he says. Like, there's some stuff I know, like even this day. And I went to go back to this day which I know was on the 6th of August. I thought it was 2018, but it was 2017. It wasn't in the book. But I said to him, you know, I remember that day where God said to me, I'm your ferocious lover. And he just, you could tell, he was just so intrigued. He was so intrigued. And I said, you know, have you got kids? And he said, yes. I was like, do you play with your kids? Like, do you let them sit on your knee? And do you tickle them? And do you play with them? And he said, yes. I was like, that's what God wants, a relationship with you. Like, that's the kind of relationship that God wants with you. And he just looked at me and he's like, thank you so much. Thank you for telling me. And you know, I didn't lead him to Christ or anything, but that guy, he's going to remember. He is going to remember. And it all started just asking that question. Do you ever talk to God about your decisions? Feel free to write some of these things down, guys. Do you ever talk to God about your decisions? It's a really easy question to ask someone. Doesn't matter what they're talking about. How's your night been? Was another way that I opened a conversation. This was with a girl up at the service station. And she said, oh, I'm really, really busy. And I'm actually a bit, you know, like it's all a little bit hard for me. And I said, well, isn't it good that you're busy? Like, isn't that the point of work, that you've got customers and stuff? And she's like, I've got too many customers and I've got all these shelves to fill. And, you know, there's just, I need a break in the customers. And I said to her, oh, can I pray for you? She's like, oh, yeah, thanks. So I did. Just a short prayer. Because, you know, when she's busy, the last thing that she wants is some girl standing there taking up more of her time. So I prayed for her and then I said, do you ever pray yourself? She said, I used to, but I've been really disappointed by God lately. And I was like, well, God actually wants to be talking to you more. He wants you to talk to him. He loves you. And I got her name so I could find her on Facebook. And I drove off and pulled over to the side of the road and started looking up her name. And I couldn't, like, there were so many of her name, it wasn't funny. I was like, oh. So I turned around and I went back and went up to the window and I'm like, I can't find you on Facebook. You're going to have to help me. She couldn't believe that I would take the time to come back. And then I messaged her, and that night she told me, I got everything done. Thanks so much for praying for me. You know, yesterday I was catching up with a friend just up at Palmwoods, and I was actually just in the middle of talking to him about how I don't leave home naked and how I always write down what God says to me, and then I always spend time talking to him. And then this guy interrupted and said, excuse me, can I sit down? And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Hi, what's your name? He said, oh, it's Ern. I said, nice to meet you, Ern. I'm just talking to my friend here. I'm just finishing off the story. Feel free to listen in. And so that's exactly what I did. And then I turned back to him and then started talking to him. I didn't talk to him straight away about God, but I asked him, how, you know, what are you doing and where do you live? And I asked all sorts of questions. And then I asked him, what's your relationship like with God? That's another good question to ask, because it's not a threatening question. If they say, oh, I don't have any relationship, you can just say, oh, why is that? Wait for them to answer, yeah? Then I went for my second biopsy. I had to go for another one. Anyway, I go in there, and I honestly don't remember how I started this conversation. But I'd been listening to some worship music that was, even my darkness is light to you. Even my darkness is light to you. So I'm like going in there, you know, go into the room all happy. The guy starts talking to me. I think I might have said something like, something that God speaks or something about God. I would have said something about God. And he's like, oh, God, you wouldn't want me to talk about him. And my question to him was, why not? Just ask those questions. Why not? Wait. Just don't put yourself on people. Why not? And he's like, oh, we could get into a big long argument about that. And I was like, why is that? And he's like, well, I want to talk to a God who actually, well, I want to, no, what was it? He said, well, I want proof. And the Bible says I can't ask for any. I was like, oh, that's interesting. You should think that the Bible says that, because I talk to God all the time and I want to find out proof. I was like, you don't want to be following a God that you don't get any proof from. He's like, what? So anyway, that started up all sorts of a conversation. And then he even gave me his phone number. He said to me, you're not going to be one of those weird people that keep like messaging me all the time, are you? And I said to him, no, I won't. And I just sent him one message, didn't hear back from him. But that's okay, because what I left him with is, God wants you to talk to him. Why don't you just ask him? Can you show me? Are you real? When I was on the plane, telling you a few stories here and then I'll finish. But when I was on the plane, I asked for water from the attendant at the back. And then I just said to him, where are you from? And he said, Singapore. I was like, oh, what part of Singapore? He said, Woodlands. I was like, oh, I was here in January of this year. And I went to a church that's really close to Woodlands. And he's like, oh, church? What church is that? And it started this conversation. He's actually got a friend who's in a church that's been trying to get him along to church. And this guy is a Muslim guy. And that's all it took to open up a conversation. And I was able to share with him my story of how I know without a doubt that when I called upon the name of Jesus, that the darkness in my bedroom fled and light came in and God changed my life. And he said to me, oh, I've got goosebumps all over me. It's like, yeah. So, you know, that left him with something to think about as well. What men want. That was an interesting one. I was actually watching a movie. I was on the plane again. I've been flying a lot lately. But I was watching this movie, What Men Want, and I was sitting there thinking, man, it would be so interesting to actually listen inside a guy's head sometimes. Try and find out what it is that men really want. And with that thought, I suddenly had this thought, you know, I can hear what God wants. And that's way better. No, but seriously, I can hear what God wants. And just with that, I looked up and I'm sort of pondering that thought. And there's this air hostess coming towards me and she's serving the meals. And clear as anything, I got, I want her to know that I love her. I want her to know me. I want to give her peace. And I waited for her to come up and serve me. And I just put my hand on her as she was bending down to the tray. And I said, you know, God wants you. I didn't actually say I want to know her. I said, God wants you to know that he loves you. And he wants to give you peace. And she said to me, I'm a Muslim, you know. I said, oh, yeah, but God wants you to know that he loves you and he wants to give you peace. And she started, her eyes started filling up with tears. She started getting really shaky. I talked to her just really briefly, because that's all the time we have sometimes. And then I said to her, can I pray for you? She said, yes. I put my hand on her, she carried on serving. Now, often I don't put my hands on people, just so you know. Again, we don't want to be weird, yeah? We actually just want to be, we can pray with our eyes open and God touches people in just the same way, yeah? But with her, I just, it was a thing of comfort, really. I put my hand on her and I prayed for her and she carried on along her way. And God wants us to be touching people in our everyday life. And I know that he wants to use each and every one of you. I know that you can do it. I know all it takes is for you to connect. You don't need to pour yourself out onto someone. You just need to spend enough time with people so that you can listen to them. Rather than you telling them your story, why don't you take time to listen to theirs, and then to connect them. So if we could have the last picture up. Huh? What are you going to leave people with? Are you going to leave them with a full roll? Or are you going to leave people upset with an empty roll? Sometimes we say, come to Jesus, he's amazing. And we just leave people hanging. Are you going to give them a full roll? I could go a little bit further with that analogy if you really think about what the toilet paper is used for. I'll let your mind and imagination go there. You know, people have a lot of stuff to deal with. There's a lot of things that need to go in people's lives. Are you going to give them the tools, or are you going to leave them with an empty roll? I'll leave you to think about that. So, you know, we can often hear these kind of messages and go, wow, that was great. Well, you might not say that, I don't know. I go, that was something else. But what are you going to do about it? What is it that God's saying to you? Are you going to draw people in with thankfulness, gratefulness, loving kindness? Because you've all got it in you. So could we just take just a few minutes to shut our eyes and to ask God that question, just some silence. God, what do you want from me today? What does this mean for me? Can I encourage you to write it down? Can I encourage you, get out your phone if you've got your notes on your phone, if you've got a little notepad that you can write it down on. I encourage you just to write down, what is it that God is saying? What is it that he's told me that I need to do? Because I've written some things down and I have to look at my book every morning. I wrote it down 9 days ago. I still need to look at it to remind me. Because it's not a habit yet. I'm going to pray for us. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And thank you, Father, that we have the truth inside of us. Thank you, Father, that you've made the gospel simple enough for us to understand. Thank you, Father, that we don't need to be complicated. Thank you, Father, that we have everything that we need already. You've given us every tool. I ask that you would help us to use it and to be faithful. To be faithful in the little. To be faithful in the things that aren't seen. To be faithful in the things that are seen. To be able to see the hundreds of thousands come to know you, that we would do our part. Even though it may not be us, it takes someone all the way on the journey, that we're part of that journey and help us to understand that we're part of that journey. Open our eyes today. Show us. In your precious name, amen. Awesome. Well, I'm not used to closing for this morning, but I guess is that it? Closing? That's it. So have we got the teams this morning, the prayer and prophetic? Yeah, so prayer to this side, prophetic this side. And maybe it is that you have never made a commitment to follow Jesus. Maybe it is that you've never asked him into your life. And if that is you, then can I encourage you to do that today? In fact, I know sometimes I will pray this. If you'd like to do this, I'll give you some words that you can say. Because sometimes we hear this call and we don't know how to respond, and we get a little bit too embarrassed to even get up the front to ask someone to pray for us. So if that's you, if you want to do something like that today, if you want to say, God, I want to follow you, I want to surrender my life to you, then let's pray these words together. In fact, feel free, church, to pray these words together, all out loud, so that the people around you can pray it out loud too. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you want me. I ask that you would change my heart. I invite you into my life today. I surrender all that I am, all that I do, all the things that have defined me. And I ask that you would take me over and forgive me. I want to follow you for the rest of my days. Amen. Awesome, guys. If you have prayed that prayer, do be bold and come and see us. Up here on the left, you can come talk to me. I'll just be hanging around. And prophetic team on your right, and have an amazing day.